Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Today we are talking about courage, or as what I believe is going on, a courage deficit in our society. It's rare that somebody breaks through all of the noise and has the courage to say the things that need to be said, which is why I'm honored to welcome my next guest. He is a professional basketball player for Orlando Magic and the author of the national bestseller, Why I Stand. If you don't know Jonathan Isaac for his work on the court, then you definitely know him because you've seen these viral videos of him surviving what I believe just to be peer pressure campaigns that arise in our society. Most notably, let's take a listen to this clip of him at a press conference during the Black Lives Matter demands and riots during the summer of 2020. Take a listen, guys.
A lot went into my decision, and part of it is, first off, is my thought that, you know, kneeling or wearing a Black Lives Matter t-shirt don't go hand in hand with supporting Black lives. And so I felt like, just me personally, what it is that I believe in, standing on a stance that I do believe that Black lives matter, but I just felt like it was a decision that I had to make, and I didn't feel like putting that shirt on and kneeling went hand in hand with supporting Black lives, or that it made me support Black lives or not. I believe that for myself, my life has been supported through the gospel.
The clip that we just watched was him enduring a bunch of questions because he refused to wear the phrase Black Lives Matter. You remember the whole NBA sensation? It was like every player just had to get in line with the Black Lives Matter narrative. You wear the t-shirt, you were supposed to kneel. He didn't do any of that. He was the only one standing and he was wearing white. Jonathan, it really is an honor for me to have you on this show. I think you are just, as I said to the audience, tremendously courageous. And I want to start with just that. What made you decide to stand? You know, you talk about this in your book, but talk about it to a larger audience in case they haven't read the book.
Yeah, Candace, first off, thank you so much for having me. I would say what led me to stand is a lot of backstory on a lot of details. So you got to get the book, Why I Stand, to get all of that. But for me, I didn't see the Black Lives Matter movement or organization as the answer to actually being able to heal what was going on. And so when I looked at my life, I said, you know what? My life has been supported by Christ. The gospel and the love of Jesus Christ is what has changed my life. And I know that to be the answer for the world, because racism and all the other things we deal with as a society, as humans, are heart issues. And so I couldn't think of a better antidote or message for the times to heal the hearts of men other than the gospel. And so that's what I decided to stand up and say. I didn't want to go along with a narrative or, you know, anything divisive. I didn't even want to make it about me, just to stand up and say, you know what? I believe the answer to be Jesus, and leave it at that.
But you make it sound so easy, right? I remember these campaigns that were going on. And if you were an athlete or a public figure, I mean, I would just imagine if I'm playing basketball and you see and they have, you know, other basketball players that are going out saying this is what must happen. It can't have been that easy to make the decision to say, you know what? I am willing to be alone in this and to say, you know what? I believe in Christ. I believe in the Lord as a solution. I don't believe in really what was a trend at the time. So where did you draw that strength from? What was your decision-making process?
Yeah, so to say that, it definitely wasn't easy. And so just answering the question of why I did it, that was why. But then getting into how it came to be was, it was tough. You know, I didn't sleep the night before. If I didn't have the people that I have in my life, like, you know, in the book, I'm on the phone with my pastor the night before saying, you don't understand how big this is going to be. I haven't signed my contract yet. You know, there's a lot of things that are riding on this, and I know I'm going to get backlash. I know I'm going to be a coon. I know I'm going to be an Uncle Tom. And we landed on him saying, look, you cannot stand for God and God not stand for you. And so in the moment, it was tough. It was hectic. I knew what was going on. I knew how big it was going to be. But for me, it's like I knew what's my truth in terms of what I've experienced in my life. And I knew that, you know, the Black people, you know, can be supported by something other than, you know, what was being pushed. And so looking at my life, and not just Black people, but all the people who have been supported by the gospel, it's like, man, that can be the answer that can heal and mend the world. And so that's what I decided to stand up and share.
What was the backlash? How did your teammates react, I guess, first and foremost? You know, because that's, you're seeing everybody's doing the same thing. You're in lockstep. You're expected to be a team. What was their reaction like?
Well, it wasn't an easy situation. You know, during that time, it was a very emotional time. You know, there were several guys that were really invested and tied to Black Lives Mattering. And again, not saying that Black Lives don't matter. It was just that for me, I don't believe that Black Lives matter more to anyone than they do to God. And so it was like, yo, like, I hear what you're saying, but you know, guys were, you know, some guys were upset about it. Some guys didn't, you know, really like it. And we had a conversation, a heated conversation that's detailed in the book. But we were able to leave it at, look, you guys believed in what you were kneeling for. And I believe in what I'm standing for. I wasn't protesting, you know, you guys as protests. It's just what I believe in. And so I respected you guys and your decision to kneel. And I just asked for that same respect in return.
The key word that you just said is emotional. It was a very emotional time. And I find that when people are emotional, they suspend rational thinking. And then it just piles on when you're in a group of people that are also emotional and people are just not thinking. And as you may or may not know, I've been working on this documentary because I want to just know where $90 million plus dollars for an organization that we were told was supposed to be the solution, right? That was supposed to help Black America, where it went. And the stuff that we have uncovered is amazing. Even though I don't want to spill anything too early because it's coming out in a couple of weeks, I would say almost none of the money went to actually furthering and helping Black lives. And I think people are starting to see that and ask questions now in the media. Have any of your teammates, the people that were around you, changed their minds at all? Like, had they kind of realized that, hey, maybe we got on board with something a little too quickly? Or is it kind of like silence kind of got a little crazy, but I'm not going to say anything more about that?
Well, I've had a few conversations, you know, not even necessarily teammates, but just guys around. I think people have definitely taken a step back and kind of calmed down a bit. And when that emotion is gone, like you were saying, you're able to kind of think rationally and clearly. And, you know, a lot of people are seeing a lot of the things that's coming out, you know, with the Black Lives Matter organization about the way that they handle their funds and all that stuff. But it really is just tragic. It's sad. It sucks because there were so many people who were so invested in that moment of, you know, Black Lives Mattering and hoping that this thing can be the salvation of the Black community and everything like that. And so for me, it just reiterates that, you know, salvation is not going to come through an organization. It's not going to come through a movement. It's not going to come through a party. It's ultimately going to come through the hearts of men being changed. And that's where the gospel comes into play. But for me, it's like, you know, when you look at the Black Lives Matter organization, it's people. And at the end of the day, people are, you know, people aren't good. And, all across the board, we all fall short of God's glory. And if we went back in anybody's past, there's going to be evil things that they've done because we're all the same. And what the gospel does is it puts everybody on the same playing field and points everybody to Christ and their need for a savior.
So well said. You know, so much begins when we start veering towards a faithless society. I want to pause right there because I know this is not the first time that you've taken a stand. You also took a stand against vaccines. We're going to get right back into that conversation in just a second. But first, I want to take a brief break. Did you know that every time you connect to an unencrypted network in cafes, hotels, airports, etc., your online data is not secured? Any hacker that's on the same network can gain access to and steal your personal data. That's why you need ExpressVPN. It creates a secure, encrypted tunnel between your device and the internet so that hackers can't steal your data. ExpressVPN works on all of your devices, phone, laptop, tablet, even on your smart TV. And it's so easy to use. You just fire up the app and you click one button and then you're protected. I use it on all of my devices because I do not want my data to be stolen. So you should use it too. You can get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN free at expressvpn.com/Candace. That's expressvpn.com/Candace. expressvpn.com/Candace. You go out on the line, talk about Black Lives Matter. You sound completely sane and normal and unemotional, and you have drawn strength from the Lord. And then, oh my gosh, a pandemic hits and the next new trend, and it's all about changing your profile, saying you got the vaccine. That pressure campaign in many ways was even worse because we were basically being told to sacrifice our bodily autonomy. Whether or not we were comfortable with it or not, people who watch and listen to this show know that I made a decision not to get the vaccine. I felt very comfortable with my body's immune system, and I have survived, gotten COVID. I've survived COVID, and I know people that have gotten the vaccine and also gotten COVID. Give me your thinking in that moment.
Well, it was honestly kind of the same thing. I tried my best to take a step back and just look at everything that was going on. And to your point about there being a lot of pressure, there really was. And so, you know, you look at social media or just what was going on, there was so much fear that was being pushed. And it just made me uneasy and a lot of other people uneasy. And to watch, you know, anybody's hesitation, anybody's questioning of the vaccine be thrown down as you're an evil person and you don't care about the people that are around you. That was like, okay, there's some red flags here. And so I just kind of took my time and said, you know what? I'm young, I'm healthy, I'm in the best shape of my life. I've already had COVID in the past and I had, you know, read up on natural immunity and even had talked to different doctors about it. And then I said, you know what? I don't see the wisdom in putting something into my body that I could have an adverse, you know, effect to, and then it won't stop me from catching the virus or transmitting it. And but it really opened my eyes once, you know, most people know about the Rolling Stone article that came out, you know, on the NBA players. And in there, it said that I came to my vaccination status by watching Donald Trump press conferences and studying Black history. And that was when I was like, okay, well, this is obviously bigger than a vaccine. This is about an agenda. This is about a side. And that's when I was like, you know, I'm going to side with the people who are losing their jobs right now and having their medical and religious exemptions denied, and stand up and be a voice for them.
Wow. And were you able to connect in that moment with Kyrie Irving? Because he also withstood a lot of heat for basically saying, I'm not comfortable with this. You know, this is my body. You only get one body. I'm not comfortable with this. And I would imagine, by the way, even aside from Kyrie Irving, you guys maybe had the courage to speak out about it. But just looking at the actual statistics, Black Americans were the most hesitant to get the vaccine, even though they were trying to politicize it and make it about Donald Trump, which didn't make much sense. Did you find that even within the locker room that a lot more people were seeing your side of things?
Yeah, for sure. No, I didn't get a chance to connect with Kyrie. But when it came to the feelings and opinions of the league, there were plenty of guys who were just like, you know, this is just what they're doing. You know, we get the vaccine. It's nothing. It's just a shot. But for me and a lot of other people, it was just the principle of the way that it was going about. Not to say that the vaccine is evil, the vaccine can't work or doesn't help you at all. It's just like the way that they went about introducing the vaccine, pushing the vaccine, demeaning anybody who was hesitant, all the different, you know, things that were going on. I was like, okay, this isn't for me. But, you know, I've even had conversations with guys where they're like, look, if they try to do this again, I'm not getting it. I'm going to hold out because of the way that it was, you know, portrayed in the beginning.
I think what was really interesting for me to take a look at is just that so many times in our society, we are being told to see racism where it doesn't exist, right? This is a new form of slavery. Slavery, you know, we kind of see the overusage of these terms in our society. And then I thought in this moment, when you are telling, you know, majority Black men in the NBA that they have to sacrifice their bodies and get something that they're uncomfortable with in order for them to be able to earn a living, I thought, okay, this might be the moment to actually speak up and to say something and to say, I'm not comfortable with, you know, our bodies being used. I think overall, the Black Lives Matter narrative, bodies being used for marketing. Nobody knows where the dollars are going, right? The vaccine narrative, again, minting new billionaires, which obviously you've read into that 9, 10, 11 new billionaires, big pharma billionaires. Again, nothing that's helping the Black community. Do you ever find that as an athlete, you are being used in a way, or constantly, particularly not you, obviously, because you stood up to it, but to the other athletes, that they're constantly trying to use, you have a talent, okay, you can put the ball into the basket, but now they're saying you have to also do this socially to advance these causes.
Yeah, I think the NBA, you know, with us having a PA and you know, it's more so of a players league, we've tried our best to mitigate that. But I think the vaccine is a testament to that of, you know, because we're in the NBA and because they have this is something that we have to go along with. But thank God that we do have a PA that was like, it doesn't have to be mandated, and they fought for that. And so I'm grateful. But I think it's something that happens far too often.
Yeah. Tell me something about your childhood. I know you go into this in the book, but just tell our audience, you know, people are probably listening to this going, where does this guy come from? How does somebody come out in this rational in today's society? Every day there's something crazy going on. You're talking about faith. You're talking about courage. How does a society produce somebody like you?
Well, what I love about the book, and even what I love about the moment of standing in all these different things, is that it's not something that I would have done at all just a few years ago, and especially in my childhood. So when I stand up and I say, man, you know, I believe that Jesus Christ is the answer for the world, the only reason that I'm saying that is because I can see in my own life how he's been the answer for me. And so you take a kid who struggled tremendously with anxiety, fear, self-insecurity. I moved from Bronx, New York to Naples, Florida when I was 10 years old. My parents split up. So Me, four brothers and one sister all moved to Naples, Florida, and I really, really struggled with fitting in. My nickname was Ethiopia early on because of how skinny and dark skinned I was. And I just struggled. I started to not like myself. And then I found basketball, and basketball kind of had all the answers for me in the moment. That's when people started to like me because of how talented I was. But I still struggled with those same things behind the scenes, even to the point where I'm the number one player in the state of Florida, and I'm attending Florida State, and I'm on anxiety medication to play. Wow. And so what I love about the book is it points you to how the love of Jesus Christ was the answer for me, and how he brought the right people around me that helped me to get to where I am today in order to stand. And so it's not just some story of some guy who is super courageous all the time and just got up and said, you know, this is what I believe. It was a guy who has been transformed by the same message that he's trying to push. And that's where the evidence is that I do believe that Jesus is the answer, because he can change people's hearts, because he's changed mine. And so, yeah.
And so having this faith has instilled this calmness for you. And you can really hear that, you know, you're no longer being impacted by what's happening externally because you have this peace internally. And so often I talk about how, you know, our society used to teach the Bible. Think about this. Public education used to teach the Bible in school, and then you wiped that away, right? And now it's become very fashionable to mock Christians in this society. Mainstream media mocks Christians quite often. What is your take on that when you see the way that society is going, and you see the way that Christianity, the idea of a Bible Belt Christian from the South, you know, becomes sort of this laughing stock? And how children are embarrassed if they do have faith. You know, for me, I grew up, my grandfather was very, very Christian, and then I wanted to fit in. So I was like, I don't want to be known or associated with as a Christian, because that's weird.
Yeah, I think it's something that we've all struggled with, especially, you know, people of faith in today's world, growing up, especially, you know, young kids. They, again, don't want to have that stigma on them of being, you know, a follower of Jesus or committed to that in any way. I just think it's unfortunate. I think that it's not hard to look out at our society and to see that something is missing. And to me, you know, you're talking about mental health, you're talking about all these tragic things that are happening in our society. To me, it's because we're fish out of water. We're not connected to our source. We're not connected to the grounding moral principles that have helped us get to where we are today. And again, even the understanding that we all fall short of God's glory, we're all imperfect. And we spend so much time pointing fingers at each other about how evil the other person is, when we're just as evil. Our evil just hasn't been exposed. And so, I think it's unfortunate. And I think that, but I also love, you know, the time that we're in terms of the book and everything that's going on. It's like the necessity to stand up for your faith and what you believe in is only becoming more necessary as the world gets darker, but it's only becoming harder and harder to do. And so you're going to have the courage and the belief to do it. And I believe that's what this book provides you.
Wow, that is absolutely amazing. For the people that are listening, please tell them where they can get this book today.
Who can grab? I got it right here for you, Candace, just so you can see. There's one in the background too. But you can grab Why I Stand on Amazon. Go check it out. And again, this book is not just about standing in the bubble or refusing a vaccine. It's a story of my journey, how I was able to combat fear, anxiety through a relationship with Christ to get me to where I am today. And again, the people that were along the ride that helped me to get there as well. And so go on Amazon, check it out, and, you know, you guys be encouraged and blessed.
And can I get a signed copy? I got to ask.
Yeah, what? Absolutely.
Okay,
absolutely.
Good. If you send me a signed copy, I will put it up on my Instagram so people know where they can buy it.
We'll do, absolutely.
All right, Jonathan, thank you so much for your time. And like I said, you really are a courage and profile. And I hope that people listening just understand we are in scary times, because we all have to find the strength within ourselves to be the individual. Be the individual. Don't go where the group is going. Be something different. Have the courage to say, actually, this isn't okay. It's not about being liked, you know. And when, if you're a Christian like me, you know that all of this is temporary, right? And you really can change your entire life and your entire perspective when you have a relationship with the Lord. You guys, be sure to follow Jonathan Isaac on the court and check out his new book, Why I Stand. As he said, it's available now. Go on Amazon and buy it. It's no secret that out-of-control inflation is hammering the stock market. For example, Amazon stock was down 37% in the first half of the year. Tesla has been down 40%, and the S&P 500 is having its worst start to the year since World War II. Needless to say, now might be a good time to diversify your assets into gold, the most stable asset in the history of the world. And Birch Gold is a company that I trust to help you convert an IRA or a 401k into an IRA in gold and silver. That's right. Not only will Birch Gold help you fortify your savings with precious metals, they'll help you do it in a tax-sheltered account. Text Candace to 989898 to get your free no-obligation info kit on gold from Birch Gold. Text Candace to 989898 and secure your savings now. Thanks for joining me on this segment of Candace. If you liked this podcast, be sure to subscribe and leave us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. To watch, listen to the full show, become a member at dailywire.com/subscribe.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.